Yosef and his brothers. That is a well-known story. And I'm sure those who have Parshat Shavuot, our Torahs, will deal with it a lot. But I want to deal with a certain aspect of the story, an aspect that could possibly be very relevant to our lives. In the story of Yosef and his brothers, the brother Yosef was bringing dibatam ra'ah el avihem, hunar ibnei bilhav ibnei zilpa, which according to some interpretations was, he was mocking them, dissing them. He was always tattletaling to his dad about things his brothers did. And then the brothers were grazing the sheep in Shechem. Yaakov was living in Hebron. He sends Yosef me'emek Hebron to Shechem to see how his brothers are doing. Now, where does Yosef find his brothers? Okay, finds them in a field by which city?
Shechem.
Not Shechem.
Dothan.
Dothan. Right, you said Dothan. Okay, good. He found it by a city named Dothan. I mean, they were not where he originally looked for them. He got to Shechem. They weren't in Shechem. And he did eventually find them in Dothan. Now, it could have said in the Torah that he went to Shechem. Vayagidu lo anshei hamakom ki alchu ledotan, vayelchachem ledotan. That would be fine. Okay, meaning if they wanted to explain how he didn't find them in Shechem. Right? Because part of, you know, getting lost, right, is if they don't know where to look for you. Right, part of that whole mystery with the Malaysian airplane, if you recall that a couple years back, was they were looking for it in the wrong ocean. Because they presumed that it went down between Australia and China. Right? But really, it looped around to the Indian Ocean before it went down. So, when you're in Dothan, and they think they're looking for you in Shechem, you know, like with Yaakov Avinu would to retrace his steps, you know, and go look for Yosef, he would never find him. But the way it describes, though, the Yosef finding his brothers is not how I said. It's not that he went to Shechem and they told him that he wasn't in, they weren't in Shechem, that rather they were in Dothan. Instead, they have it in a form of an interesting conversation. A man encounters Yosef and he's wandering lost in the fields. He says to Yosef, what are you looking for? I'm looking for my brothers. Could you tell me where they're grazing? Right. I forgot exactly the exact quote. But what did we say here? You have this conversation. He meets a man when he's wandering in the fields. The man asks him, what do you want? What are you looking for? He says, I'm looking for my brothers. Now, I didn't have to give that in the form of a conversation. Right? He could have just given it shorthand, saying that he met, then they told, the people there told him to go to Dothan. Why does he have to have that whole conversation? The phrase, Etechai Enochi Mevakesh. You've seen that phrase. Like on Poland shirts, right? Etechai Enochi Mevakesh, right? I'm searching for my brethren. It's a phrase that has a lot of emotion in it. From the reason that the Torah decided to bring Yosef's phrase, full of emotion, Etechai Enochi Mevakesh, I'm looking for my brothers, we can learn something. We can learn that Yosef understood that he may have gone too far. And that he really was going, the reason he went in his father's shlichut and didn't try to get out of it wasn't only out of his kibud avim. He also wanted to have a chance to make up with his brothers. You know, to go hang out with them in a normal setting, just in the field, and be a nice guy and not mock them and kind of like make amends. That's what Yosef's plan probably was. And we see that from this phrase, at the Chai Anochi Mevakesh, I'm looking for my brothers. Right? He didn't say, I'm looking for a group of shepherds that are here, you know, like, you know where they may have gone, right? He says, I'm looking for my brothers. As if, you know, that guy knew who his brothers were. You know, I'm looking for my brothers. But by that point, Yosef doesn't know it. But by that point, it's already too late. Because before he got to them, they already planned on killing him. Which means if he had succeeded in somehow sneaking up on them and meet them and have a conversation with them, possibly things might have run a little different. But the whole plan of killing him happened when they saw him at a distance. Now, what am I getting at here? Yosef wasn't really aware of it, but he was playing with fire. Emotions, people, other people's emotions, are fire. We think we're just kidding sometimes. We think we're just, you know, it's all fun and games. It's all joke, you know, it's all good-hearted. But sometimes that good-heartedness and fun and games is only coming from one side. You're having fun and games, but the person who you're relating to is not having fun. And for him, it's not a game. Yosef tattling on his brother, you know, it's like, whatever, you know, like, we're brothers. We all tattletale on each other, right? Like, no, your tattling is resonating very badly at your brothers. And then, you know, you're kidding around with the Bnei Shvachot. You know, like, you think you're just, it's all fun and games. Because you know you're all brothers, right? You're just like, hey, yeah, your mama. You know, like, no. For them, that was hard. Okay? There's a bit of machloket. Who came up with the idea to kill Yosef? Simplest pshat is Shimon and Levi. They also take the rap for it later on in the brachas of Yaakov. But there's a Mikilach Itzonit, like one of these books that didn't make the cut of Tanakh, that claims that the person who initiated the idea to kill Yosef was actually Dan, as the head of Bnei Ashvachot, because they just couldn't take his mockery anymore. For them, it wasn't a joke. And then even when Yosef understands that it's time to make up, it's too late. But now let's go to the other side. The other side of the story. The brothers. They let the animosity build. They let it get way out of hand. It's so out of hand that the compromise of let's just sell him into slavery or / let's throw him into a pit and let him die there, depending if you're Rashbam or Rashi, right? That's the compromise plan. You know, the original plan is murder him and throw him into a boar and see how his dreams are. You know, him telling him the dreams is another one I forgot to mention, is his agitating them, saying how he's going to be their king with these quasi-prophetic dreams. Right? And they say, oh, we'll kill him and then see how his dreams pan out. The flip side is letting one of those, like, some guy throws a silly idea, a ridiculous idea. And then another guy says, hey, that's not so bad. And then the idea starts snowballing, this bad idea, this stupid idea, starts snowballing out of hand. And then when suddenly you start waking up and start catching yourself, you're suddenly like, uh-oh, we did something that was irreversible. There's two parshaniyot, classic parshaniyot, about the story of Mechirat Yosef. One is Rashi, where, you know, they sold him actually to the Ishmaelim. And the other one is Rashbam, which claims that they didn't sell him to the Ishmaelim. They just threw him in a pit, and they went away, so they wouldn't be in earshot to hear him yell. And a bunch of Ishmaelim passed by and heard him shouting and took him and stole him and sold him into slavery. Either way, that was an idea that they started playing with something very dangerous and it got out of hand. Okay, now you don't need to go on and imagine what scenarios could happen in guys' lives. You know, like you say, oh yeah, there's that annoying kid. Let's do a little hazing on him. Yeah, we'll just raid his room at night, do something fun. You know, it'll be hilarious. Maybe hilarious for you, maybe not hilarious for him. Maybe something that you do doesn't, you know, isn't all fun and games. Some, maybe your idea to get back at that annoying individual sounds like a decent plan when you're making it. But if you'd give it a few moments of thought, you'd say, wait a second, there could be real consequences to this. Okay, you know, oh, tie him to something and leave him there for a while. Ha, 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 fun, fun, fun. People have died that way. Lock him in somewhere, spray something in his room, laugh, ha, ha, ha. People have died that way too. You always have to figure a few steps in advance, both in how you react to people emotionally, what the effect you're having of the way you're treating them, of the things you're saying to them, and also what your actions are. In return, think what that means. You may feel that, oh yeah, but think about all the ramifications. Think about the bigger picture. Think about where that could lead you. If we keep those in front of us, maybe we could avoid a scenario of Yosef. Maybe we could avoid being the person who annoys his surroundings to a breaking point. And maybe we could avoid being the person who, through an act of childish silliness, ends up having large ramifications that last for years and years and years. You have to remember, Yosef didn't have an easy time for his side in the story. And his brothers also didn't have an easy time for their side of the story. Okay, Yosef had to live for 13 years in slavery. And they had to live for 22 years, I think, 22, with this guilt. Such great guilt that when they're arrested by this Egyptian official and they're interrogated, their first response was, it's because we sold Yosef. That's their response 22 years later. You know, like, this problem, this Egyptian is being mean to us because we sold our brother 22 years ago. Right? And you're like, what's with that? And the answer is, they lived those 20 years with guilt. Okay? Think about it. Think about what you do to your friends. Think about what friends are doing. And think about the ones that aren't Shimon and Levi. Think things that aren't done. The bystanders. The guys that just went along with it. The leaders of the groups had this great idea. And they were like, oh, I don't know if that's the greatest idea, but they went along with it. Okay? You could be a bystander in these situations. Not necessarily the agitator or the retaliator. You can also just be like the bystander. The guys that go along with it. If one of those guys, one of the Shvatim, you know, if Yisachar would say, if you touch him, I tell. That would be the end of it, wouldn't it? Right? If Zvulun would have said, you know, Zvulun, the youngest one, would have said, if you touch Yosef, I tell. That'd be the end of it. Nothing would have happened. Okay? Because only by him being a bystander, by willing to let the leaders do their thing, does this whole story happen, this whole tragedy happen. Think about it, gentlemen.